Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the session .NET 4.5.1. What's up, Doc? I pick up this name because it's fun. It reminds me of these cartoons of some years ago, which there is this Bugs Bunny, which is always asking that to Doc. What's up, Doc? So I think, what's up, Doc? We had recently .NET in 7 to 8 months ago, a big, very big, strong release for .5. And, well, what's up, Doc? It's again here, right? We have .NET 4.5.1, so what's happening? Microsoft is accelerating its path. Well, welcome to the session. I'll try to make it fun. I think it's a fun release. It's very customer-oriented. My name is José Luis Latorre Millas. I work at Roche Diagnostics as software engineer. And I'm also part of INETA, is International Net User Group Association. I'm also created with some other friends, the Zurich Developers.net, the Zurich Developers User Group. If you come to Zurich, check out our website. It's zurichdev.net, as easy as that. And I'm also an MVP for some years already on the strange category of Silverlight. Yes, I'm still there. So welcome. What are we going to see today? We're going to get a slight introduction to what is really .NET 4.5.1. We will see the aspects of developer productivity, also application performance, and what aspects are changing here, which is something which is becoming a game changer in .NET, which is the continuous innovation. So let's jump to it. .NET 4.5.1, what is it? Obviously, you will think it's a CLR, right? It's the base class libraries, some G, the garbage collection, security model, everything there for exception, well, everything you have been working for the latest years. And also all the libraries that work over it, Entity Framework, ASP.NET, WCF, WPF, anything you put there, and which is continuously growing by Microsoft. Right? But I tell you, this is not correct. This is what I thought always, and this is something Microsoft is telling every now and then. Microsoft is not this. It's a complete ecosystem, which is comprised of what we have seen. The runtime we have as well. The libraries, we have the languages, VB, C#, F#, everything that goes in, a lot more. This is also part of .NET. And the tools. And when I say tools, I'm obviously referring to Visual Studio 2013 and all the ones that have come before. So for Microsoft, .NET is all of these, is a complete ecosystem. So bear in mind that when this is .NET, not only the CLR, not the CLR plus the libraries, it's everything around. With this in mind, let's speak about the .NET evolution since 2002. It's been growing exponentially. Managed code, we got generics, was exciting. Oops, I didn't want to do that. We had the LinQ, Dynamics, asynchronous programming, which is a game changer. It has changed the way we code now. Who is coding here with async and await? 1, 2, 3, okay, that's nice. You're lucky. I cannot do that at the moment at work. Sorry. But we will get there. But it's becoming really exciting. It makes the code really easy. And it's evolving really crazy, in a very crazy way, changing the way we code and we think on how to solve problems. So .NET 4.5 is an in-place replacement of .NET 4. And .NET 4.5.1 is an upgrade to that. A lot of improvements in performance and capabilities. But taking a look at .NET 4.5, we had async for improving responsiveness, and also the way we code, simplifying a lot the way we code and understand code. We had Windows Store apps, Windows Phone apps improvements. Also, we have, when I say async, it's not only on client, it's everywhere. Everywhere you have this async method, so it changed all .NET. Basically, we have MVC, Web API, ASP.NET, Entity Framework Code First, WebSocket, Singular, well, a lot of things. Fundamentals, async in a way, this is important, as I said. WinRT, Interop, a lot of performance improvements. For example, this LOH fragment reduction, which we will see, it has already improved a bit more today with .NET 4.5.1. This already improved the way things are ready. It's reduced the way LOH, the large object heap, is compacted. Sorry, not compacted, it's fragmented. So it's improved. Also, improved the amount of space for arrays and a lot more libraries, Nugget, extension methods. Also, this small part of here is really important. I really love particular libraries. This has drastically changed. And now we have also very small improvement for portable libraries for .NET 4.5.1, which we will see. And of course, this is already installed in more than 100 million machines. So I think that's quite a success. For .NET 4.5.1 at the moment is, .NET 4.5 has yet to be added to Microsoft Update. So you have to install it, or you have to get, for example, Windows 8, which has already, or Windows 8.1, which has already it installed. Windows 8.1 has 4.5.1, but so you have to opt in. So I think these numbers are quite significant. And if we will find, if we create an application with this version of .NET, if we will find it installed in our clients, so probably yes. .NET 4.5.1 is a very focused, customer-oriented release. It's focused in developer productivity, application performance, and continuous innovation. This part, continuous innovation, I think we will see, but it's more integration of Microsoft in the way we code. We will see about that. So moving to developer productivity, we had a very little feature in 2005. It was called Edit and Continue, but it had a small problem. It was only for 32-bit applications, so no 64. This was complained in a lot of places. So we had in Connect, in User Voice. It was one, I think it was the seventh or ninth most asked feature of .NET. Also on Channel 9, Stack Overflow. If you find, you will find this petition a lot more places. So in short, we have been waiting for 8 years, but we have it here. You. Cool. By the way, anybody knew how to do edit and continue with a 64 application before? There was a small trick. You change it, and you compile it for 32, and then off you go. But easy. Everybody was complaining. So it was number 9. Works exactly the same. And it's, just to be clear, it's for client applications, WPF, WinForms, Windows Store apps. Also, ASP.NET web application projects are supported. The rest, maybe not. Azure, I believe, cannot use this feature properly. So let's take a look at the demo. So just to be clear, I have a piece of code here, which at the bottom, at the end, can you read The code? Yes? Perfect. Good. So, here, have a breakpoint. I'm going to see that the project is building explicitly for 64 bits. And I'm going there to step. So here we see is doing something weird, which is wrong, okay? So now you can edit and voila, easy. Sounds very simple, but it's something very cool as well. That's another thing that I really like is if you see something is wrong, you can also use another feature, which you can move the lines with Alt and up and down, which is also really cool for Visual Studio 2013. Let's go back. There is more capabilities and improvements. Like, for example, this return value, how to get a return value or analyze the return value for some method, some function. This is something that now it has changed, and we can inspect the return value in .NET in a very easy way. Sorry, there. So here, the same piece of code I was returning area. Well, really, I don't need that. Okay, so if I start it, I can change it on the go. I can even do a return here. Yep. And we can simplify the code a lot. This is working with the autos, which is here in the book, Windows autos. This screen is telling you exactly the okay, let me start it again. Okay, so it's telling you clearly what is the return value from this function. So you no longer have to create return value, define that variable, assign the value to that variable, and return that variable just to be able to see that in the locals, or watch the variables. So it's quite easy now, and simplifying the way we code. Other interesting is the async debugging improvements, which basically is how did they get there. If you have worked, most of you have worked with async and await improvements, you have seen that it's quite hard to follow the trace of your code, of what it's really doing. This has improved a lot. We have the improvements in the call stack and in the tasks window. If I go to another CA, this is not it. Yeah, this, for example, this would do. Here, at the moment, I bet you are familiar. Oop, sorry. I didn't change it. You are familiar with this view. All the async and await is done by the compiler. So there's a lot of code that we shouldn't see, and it is not ours, right? So it's really difficult to follow this call a stack and really understand what is happening. Now we have a small feature which is activated by default. It's on Tools, Options, General, Enable, just my code. And with this small change, which is enabled by default on Visual Studio 2013, what we see is this. Okay. Don't know if the people behind can read it, but it's basically hiding my code. So it's only showing here the name of the method, here test async and optimize multiple HTTP test async. So it's really, really neat feature. So this is a lot more easy to understand. And for example, this external code is wrapping, hiding the code that we don't need. Async calls, everything is hidden, which we really don't use. Also, we have another window, which is called tasks, which we can see the status of the different tasks we have. For example, here we see this one is active, that get URL content async, and the rest are, some are scheduled to be executed, some are already awaiting. I wrote something in the code which is not okay. So we can see even how this is, how we are stepping through the code, how our application is behaving. That gives us a hell of information to understand what our code is doing. That once you get a bit into async applications, it can become a bit complicated. So this is really, really, really helpful when you are working a lot with tasks. Oops. It changed to the next. Okay. So I hope you like these three features. I think these are the most important things of .NET for the 5.1. But also we have some improvements in Windows Store that probably you have seen in the previous session. There were two sessions, one about new things about Windows Store apps, Windows 8.1, and other about ASP.NET, but I will summarize them quickly, which is converting system IO stream to random access, well, to improve the interop with existing .NET code, which is a bit, let's say, hard to work with. Better exception support for Windows 13, which is how you get the message of the exception. We'll see about that. You get the message and also the stack trace, which is quite important. We have Windows 13 type system enhancement for nullable types for structs. This is now supported. And obviously, what we have seen until now, 64-bit, edit and continue, manage runtime value inspection support, and async debugging enhancements, which we just saw. Also, there's been one thing which has been impossible to do at the moment, which is to convert the stream into iRandom access stream. Now, this can be done easily. This is maybe too small, but the slides will be published. But here, this bitmap set source memory stream, well, it cannot convert it to system IO stream, to Windows storage streams, iRandom access stream. So now it can be set with this line of code. So I think it's interesting. Rich exception, this is also a game changing here. If you have been coding for Windows 8, you will have found this is a big issue of don't have proper error propagation for Windows 13. And now, well, you can get it through system exception. That's a lot better. WinRT type system enhancement. Well, if you try to map to some web service and found out that the structs didn't match because you had to use a nullable value, now you can do it with short int, obviously not a time, but now it's a lot better. One thing which is interesting is the Eido Entity Framework connection resilience. Basically, now when you lose the connection, if you are working with Azure or any other external out of your control database connection, then it doesn't throw an exception. It works just fine. It just waits and tries to reconnect. It's a lot more resilient. So you don't have to change it or do a wrapper and just wait for it and catch exceptions. So this is done for you. This is quite a lot better. Regarding application performance, well, there has been a huge improvement in ASP.NET, which provides low latency, high density websites. So basically, what it's doing is reducing the startup time in a great way. It's 90% on a startup, so basically is a very, very improvement there in the startup time. Also, the action, instead of terminating the process of ASP.NET, it is suspended. The same, very similar in concept as Windows 8 page, Windows 8 application is suspended and then is reactivated, is rehydrated, and this is drastically enhancing the time it takes to start it again. It's a basic option here in the idle timeout action. Basically, is moving from inactive to active and suspended, and when it's again activated, instead of creating it from zero, it's rehydrating it. Basic concept, but it's getting a lot of improvements there. Other important part is the LOH compaction. You know there are four heaps, SOH, which we have three, the zero, first, and the second generation, which is for objects smaller than 85,000 bytes, and the LOH, which is for objects larger. And there's been always a lot of requests to be able to compact that. And since now, it has not been possible. We have here some requests from Anonymous, but this is now done. We had some improvements in .NET 4.5, which improved the way LOH was fragmented and defragmented. This improved greatly the situation. In fact, I tried to do a demo for this, but I could not get an out-of-memory exception. So it's really strange. But I could not get it done. Even I tried to fill up the memory there. So what I can tell you is, at the moment, if you don't do things, strange things, the memory management is quite fine-tuned. I could not break it. I think I'm looking for a demo to try that. But at the moment, you can do a garbage collection and tell it to compact all the LOH. But in fact, we should never do that, but because it takes a lot of time. Basically, in 80,000 bytes, this is when they go to LOH, and then you have here in garbage collection settings this GC LOH compaction mode that you have to set to compact once. Then, when you collect, it will get all the data and compact it. On the improvements in multi-core, there has been some, apart from the startup time, it's using the CPU, multi-CPU, in order to improve the startup times. Here we have some graphs. I believe this is for not done in Nuke, in improvement, just simply in cold startup, and also later on when it's a warm startup, but it's about 50% in ASP.NET applications, but that is also happening in Windows 8 applications. Apart from this, we will see now, I have a small demo for Windows 8 applications. There's a lot of improvements in performance when we are servicing .NET. Servicing .NET, what does it mean? It means that we are upgrading, we are installing. So before, you could have, meanwhile, you're upgrading .NET or installing or simply upgrading part of it, a huge degradation in performance. At the moment, there is none. It's the core.NET is a JIT compile, just-in-time compilation using multi-core, so there's absolutely no degradation with that. Windows 8.1 performance improvements. We will see that in a moment. It's basically deferring the use of resources. It's optimizing the SAML and also compiling SAML for first time in XBF. It's SAML binary format. And also, it has some improvements in ListView and GridView startup. And for doing this, you only have to do one thing, to compile your Windows 8 project for Windows 8.1. Let's see about that. I have this application, which is a sample application for the previous version of .NET 4.5. Let's execute it. OK. Not really. Cool. So it's simply Fisher catalog that's loading different capabilities of .NET 4.5. Hopefully it will work. It's composed of a web service and a client, so it takes a bit of time. And once it loads, we will see different tiles regarding the different capabilities of .NET. If it loads. OK, now, so we pick one. And we stop it. Just to be clear, this is a Windows 8 focus version executing in this computer, which is Windows 8.1. So to see here, we will profile it with performance and diagnostics. I will profile it using this star project, and we will check it for SAML UI responsiveness and start it. Yes. So. Coming back. I'm stopping the collection. Anybody has tried this analyze function? I think it's very cool. It's really, really neat. It shows you the UI thread use. It gives you what time he has dedicated. Do you see the mouse there? Yes. The parsing, layout, the application code, and also the FPS, the frames per second. Also, it's very good. It detects here how much time it has dedicated to render grid elements. Let me split this up. Grid view items and grid view. You can see the numbers. It is 637 seconds. It's quite a lot. And this one, 184. OK? So we are going to do one thing. We are going to retarget this to Windows 8.1. And execute it again. Rebuild it, just to be sure. And we are going to check again for SAML UI responsiveness. We'll try to open the same. And then we will stop the collection. And if everything works, we will see the difference there. OK, that's strange. Should be a lot less. Before it was consistently about 400 and 100 here. But anyway, I think it's good to take a look at this outstanding. For me, it's really good. If you work with UI elements, I think this is also a very neat feature there. Probably did something wrong. I tried that with the two projects. But anyway, the last part is continuous innovation, which I think is also continuous integration between Microsoft with our way of working. There's this acceleration in the way Microsoft is accelerating the delivery of .NET components. And this is, they are doing that in different ways. One is these constant releases that they are accelerating, or sub-releases, like 4.5.1. And the other is improving values like discoverability, improving the quality and compatibility level, the way things are licensed, and centralized patching for security issues. We'll see about that. And new values, which is faster release cadence with tighter customer feedback loop. This is done through NuGet. We will see this in a moment. And less friction using features across .NET platforms. This is done through NuGet. NuGet is a .NET package manager, which allows us to install components and find all the related dependent components and install them at once and keep them up to date. For example, some have been released in 4.5, like MEF and TPL Dataflow. And these are new packages. They are a component of .NET and are treated like that. So they are fully supported by Microsoft, with the difference that they are in this format and the dialogue with Microsoft is a lot more fluent. They are listening to any problem that we may have in this package. And the thing is, through NuGet, they can deploy it, and we can update our applications right away with any improvement, any error fix of something that we detect. So they are like part of our development process here. And more things are coming, like or have come already. CTP client, async, immutable collections. This is not yet there. So what have they done? They have created a .NET framework, NuGet feed. We can find it there, .NET framework. What do we have there? Everything.NET. We have all the .NuGet packages released for .NET. and this is on the web, and we can access it through NuGet. What does it mean? It's already enabled in Visual Studio 2013. You can access through the nugget.org website, and it's a way of keeping our source code, our application solutions, up to date with NuGet. For me, this is really important. If you are working in a company that you want the latest and greatest, then you can opt out. You can choose there to get, OK, I want the latest stable. Or you can get the latest and pre-release components, get the latest you like to play. But maybe your company doesn't like that and you want a stable. You can choose that and also be up to date with the stable packages. And everything will be very easily up to date in your computer. For me, the most important thing is that you're integrating Microsoft development cycle with your own development cycle. So if you're depending on the latest and greatest for a feature you want to do, you can start a dialogue with the product team through the NuGet platform, report a bug, report an issue, and they are going to listen. They are going to react. They are going to deploy a fix for that. So I think this is changing a bit the way we code, helping us to take a bit more risk or improve the situation. I think this is a really, really important side of .NET 4.5.1 and the way things are going here. Other thing I really like here is the PCL, the Portal Class Library. There has been a recent announcement, which means now they are not only allowed to run on Windows. The license before only allowed you to execute the PCL on Windows. That's why it was not supported by other companies, like, for example, Xamarin. This is changing. This also shows the intention of Microsoft towards opening its solutions. In this case, Xamarin Mono already have announced that they will fully support PCL. So that means that with that, you can produce libraries that can be executed in any platform that supports .NET or Mono, like Mac or Linux. Well, we got there to the conclusion of .NET 4.5.1, what is new there. I think it's clear. It delivers a lot of innovations, a change in the way .NET is released to the customers, to the software developers. Being a startup, which you want the latest and greatest, or a stable company that you only want the safest thing, and you don't want your code to be changed. Then for things we have regarding development productivity is edit and continue, return value inspection, async debugging, some lot of Windows Store development improvements, entity framework, IDO.NET, connection resiliency. Regarding application performance, JIT improvements, just in time, using multi-CPU, multi-core to code, to compile our application without using a lot of resources. On the mind, large object heap compaction, and as well, improvements for the servicing the .NET framework and improvements on the way applications are handled in both ASP.NET and Windows Store apps. On the continuous innovation, I think it's also continuous integration with Microsoft of our development cycle. For me, this would be the best aspect of .NET 4.5.1. That means that companies no longer have to be fearful of something not being supported, or we have an issue with some DLL, we cannot solve it, we have to call some. We can clearly say that and notify that in NuGet and raise the voice. Microsoft is hearing. They have set up specific teams to hear us and fix that in no time. Their image and their respect of the developer community rise on that. So I think that's a very, very important aspect of this .NET 4.5.1. This is a fundamental change in Microsoft. Also, in the PCL, they are also listening on user voice and in a lot of other communication platforms about what do we want to go there, what do we want to do. And I think they are going the right way. And this is all. My name is José Luis Latorre. If you are interested in .NET 4.5, I also wrote a book earlier this year, A Quick Start Guide at PAC Publishing. Any question, you have my email. My Twitter is @GOSLAT. And I hope this session has been of interest for you. Thank you very much.